Mel again fires low and misses. Two balls and no strikes. Stottlemyre won his first five ball games and then dropped his last two. Has a record of 5-2 right now. And no record against the Seattle Pilots, this being his first outing against this ball club ever. Mel with a major league mark of 82-61. Bell waits as Stottlemyre fires and Gary swings and misses. Two balls and a strike. Gary Bell's been around a long time, as we told you, and he's won 120 and lost 114. His record against the Yankees' lifetime is 12-13. 1-3 so far this year. Bell takes high. Three balls and one strike. Two outs, three runs in. Pilots leading the Yankees 3-2, last of the fourth. Big crowd on hand. Looks to be a capacity house. Mel ready. The 3-1 pitch on the way to Bell. He misses for ball four, and Stottlemyre, strangely enough, has walked only two batters. Both times it's been Gary Bell in the third and again in the fourth. Mel has struck out a pair, and the man coming to the plate right now is the guy he got twice in the first and the third innings, Tommy Harper. Harper leads the major leagues in stolen bases with 18. Now Gibbs is out talking to Stottlemyre as Mel trying to regain the composure that he seems to have at all times and suddenly lost when he walked Gary Bell. Tommy Harper, uniform number 21, playing second base for the Pilots. Two down at first base, Gary Bell. Mel Stottlemyre and the Yankees trailing by a run, 3-2. The first pitch by Mel, one hopper back to Stottlemyre. He has it. Walks over to Pepitone, fires to Joe in time, and the side is retired. Mel took about three steps toward Pepitone before throwing the ball. For the Pilots, three runs on three base hits, one Yankee error, one man left. The score after four innings of play, Pilots 3 and the Yankees 2.
A portable bedside computer is helping to save the lives of people suffering from shock. The development of the shock cart was made possible by grant support from the NIH National Heart Institute. This device enables physicians to get important medical data needed for the proper treatment of patients in various stages of shock. A serious hindrance to the successful treatment of such patients has been the excessive time needed to convert raw data on blood pressure and other factors into meaningful information. The new bedside computer gives this information easily in a matter of minutes. Physicians at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York City have used the shock cart with more than 100 patients, and they report that the system provided rapid assessment of the type and severity of shock in these patients, as well as a check on the patient's responses to treatment. Bringing the results of research into practice is supported by the National Institutes of Health.
Top of the Yankee batting order, Horace Clark, followed by Jerry Kenney and Bobby Mercer, coming on to face Gary Bell. Pilots leading the Yankees 3-2 as we go into the fifth. Both starting pitchers, Bell and Stottlemyre, still in there. The first pitch by Bell to Clark, hit into center field. Way back there, moving on it, and under it is Wayne Comer. Reaching up, he's got it for the first out. One pitch, one down here in the fifth for the Yanks. Clark is 1-for-3 now as Jerry Kenney moves in. Kenney singled the left, stole second, but didn't have to worry about getting home when Mercer popped his 10th of the year into the right field seats. Home runs accounting for all the scoring. A two-run shot by the Yankees' Bobby Mercer. A three-run shot by the Pilots' Jerry McNerney. Kenny and his other at-bat bounced into a double play. Bunts this one to Bell. On the mound. Fires to Mincher. Two down. Two pitchers, two outs. The ball was bunted too hard and right to Gary Bell. So going 1-3. Pitcher to first. Now here's Bobby Mercer. Hit the two-run homer in the first inning, struck out in the third. After that skirmish last night, you can hear the fans getting on Bobby just a little bit. Two down, nobody on. Bell into the windup. The pitch to Mercer is outside for a ball. Third baseman Rollins in very tight and wide of the line, giving Bobby about 20 feet. Curve misses outside for 2-0. Mercer unloaded on Bell in that first inning, and then Gary went to off-speed pitching. One jump the second time he was up there and got him on slow breaking stuff as Bobby struck out. Here's the 2-0 pitch by Bell. Curveball hit hard to the first baseman Mincher. The race is on, and Don's going to win it. And the side is retired, and Gary Bell gets out of that inning on only five pitches. It's easy as you can make it. Three up and three down, and the score after four and a half. It's the Pilots 3 and the Yankees 2.
Spring is the traditional time of the year to get out and go. Time to get out and visit favorite spots, see old friends, discover new places. When you get out and go, be sure to give your car the gasoline that will keep it on the go. Atlantic Imperial. Imperial makes any trip more fun because Imperial takes care of your car while you just concentrate on enjoying yourself. The next trip you take, take Atlantic Imperial along just for the ride. Even if you're just inching along in heavy traffic, Atlantic Imperial is blended to pay off at any speed. Fast or slow, from 0 to 60, you could say. Imperial is just your speed. Atlantic Imperial, a product of Atlantic Richfield Company.
You have a lot more fun out of the games you see at Yankee Stadium if you keep score. And the Yankees provide a scorecard for you at the stadium. It's just 25 cents. And on doubleheader days, you get a free insert sheet, so you have scorecards for both games. So next Sunday, when you come out for the Yankees-Angels doubleheader, you'll find a free insert sheet in your 25-cent scorecard, so you can keep score right along with everybody else. Makes the game a lot more interesting, Jerry.
Okay, Frank Messer, here is Mike Hegan moving in there. He has yet to get a hit in this series. Maybe because his dad, Jim, sitting in the Yankee bullpen, may be keeping his eye on him. He might be pressing somewhat. Swings at Stottlemyre's first pitch and misses for a strike. Hegan was batting .324 last night and went 0-4. His record now is .308. He's 0-2 in this game, so he is sliding toward the .300 mark. If he doesn't get anything tonight, he'll go under it. Hegan fouls this one off on the left side. No balls, two strikes. The ball kicked off the railing just to our left, almost went back on the top of Hegan's head. He was looking up at it, fortunately. Otherwise, he could have been conked. No balls and two strikes. Pilots leading the Yankees in the bottom of the fifth, 3-2. Both teams with five hits. The Yankees have made one error. The error did not really have anything to do with the scoring. Just advanced a runner an extra base. There's a drive to left field. Coming on is Roy White. He's waiting for it and has it. He can hit the ball well, but White standing right there. Mike Hegan now 0-3. And here's Tommy Davis, who's 0-2. And what a job Davis did last night. Davis, with the bases loaded, drilled a double to score three men. And then with another double, drove in another run. He had four big ones last night. Tommy Davis from the right side. Waits as Stottlemyre delivers. This one fouled back, and we pause for station identification.
This is Jerry Ducey. Dial Nightline any weeknight, and I'll be listening on WGY Schenectady.
Mel Stottlemyre ready again now. No balls and a strike on Davis. Here it comes. He tries to bunt, fouls it back on the screen for strike two. Jerry Kenney playing back, and Davis spotting him, trying to lay one down there. Don't you think these Major League ball players don't know a thing or two? They know who the guys are who don't have a great deal of experience and a position. They bundled a lot on Bobby Mercer this spring, and with Kenney in there, and he's playing deep, Davis trying to lay one down there. They know. They talk about it. Spread the information. Here's the two-strike delivery in the dirt. a ball and two strikes. And it works the same for the Yankees against the opposition. Catcher with an arm that doesn't feel so good or hasn't been throwing too well. A Yankee roadrunner is off and running. Or a pitcher that doesn't hold a man on, they take off. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Tommy Davis. He misses outside to Stottlemyre, and it's two balls and two strikes. One down and nobody on. Fifth inning, 3-2, Pilots leading the Yankees. Stottlemyre ready. The 2-2 pitch to Davis. Fouled back, and the count holds two balls and two strikes. Tommy Davis signed with the Brooklyn Dodgers so he could play in Brooklyn. Here he joined them. They went to Los Angeles. And he fought his way back to the East, finally going with the Mets. And the White Sox are now out here with the Pilots. So he has really made the cycle. Here's a 2-2 delivery. It's low. Three balls and two strikes. A full count. One out. Davis had that severe ankle break. And as Frank Musser said, he has never been the same. The payoff pitch to Tommy hit on the ground of the shortstop trash. He's got it. The underhand flip is in time, and Davis is out of there. Ran into a man tonight that most of you may never have heard about. He played for the Boston Braves in 1948, the year the Braves won the pennant. His name is Jeff Heath. 3 days before the Braves were about to wrap it up and go into the World Series, he broke his ankle and missed his great chance in life to play in a World Series. That was the only opportunity he ever had, and did he break it? Oh, boy. Right now, Don Mincher is up there with two scratch singles, swings and fouls the first pitch back, strike one. That Boston Braves ball club in those days had Sane, Spawn as the pitchers, Vern Bickford, the other guy, the right-hander, Alvin Dark, Eddie Stanky. Quite a ball club. They lost in the series to the Cleveland Indians. Here's the one-strike pitch. Now to Mincher, a check swing foul on the left side. Strike two. I bring that up because Jeff Heath literally had his major league career ended. It looked as though the leg almost was separated from the bone. It was one of the most vicious-looking pitchers you've ever seen. Some of you may remember it many, many years ago. No balls, two strikes, two outs. Mincher waiting. Stottlemyre throws one in the dirt. Scooped up by Gibbs. A ball and two strikes. Pilots are leading 3-2. Mercer's two-run homer in the first put the Yankees ahead, but McNerney's three-run shot in the fourth put the Pilots out in front. Now the 1-2 delivery to Mincher. Backs him away, 2-2. Don Mincher was a big man for the Minnesota Twins, went to the California Angels, drafted from the Angels by the Pilots. He made some good selections. Here's a 2-2 pitch to Mincher. Hit hard to Pepitone, who's standing right there to retire the side. The best ball Mincher has hit tonight, and the only time he didn't get a hit. Three up and three down, and the score after five. Pilots 3, Yankees 2.
The next time you stop at your participating Atlantic station, be sure to take a good look at the beautiful fine china your dealer is offering at a very low price. So low, you wouldn't believe it was possible to purchase fine china at such a price. But you can, and this fine china called Royal Elegance compares with china that costs many times the price. It's a value at all participating Atlantic stations. With each purchase of 8 gallons of gasoline, you can buy a 4-piece place setting of Royal Elegance at an unbelievable low price. This offer may vary in some states, but this beautiful fine china will never vary in its translucent, delicate beauty. Each place setting consists of a cup and saucer, dinner plate, and bread and butter plate. Charge your place settings on your Atlantic Richfield credit card if you like. Stop in today and take a look at Royal Elegance. Then take some home. Royal Elegance is worth a trip to your Atlantic station, believe me.
Well, Frank Messer, the ground crew, with the little cart out there, manicuring the infield, getting things organized as we go into the sixth inning. It'll be a while. They've got four men working, one with a sort of a rake at each base, and then one fellow with a great big sort of a piece of tarpaulin that he drags around behind this little cart. And he's got about two more sweeps to make before we're ready. They do this at Yankee Stadium, but they do it a little more rapidly, and it's only been in recent years that they've done it. Here's a little note I read in the paper, and I didn't know this. Does anybody out there know which team was the first team to put numbers on their backs and what year? Well, in the paper today, it told us the whole story. The New York Yankees were the first ones, and it happened in 1929, and that's something I didn't know. Shows you, if you read the papers, what you find out.
That's right. You never know what you might find out. And who was it? Will Rogers said, only know what I read in the papers, and I don't believe all of that.
Well, in those days, Frank, the numbers given the players were given to them in the manner in which they hit in the batting order. And Ruth was number three, and Gehrig was number four. So the Yankees trailing by a run as we go into the top of the sixth inning. It's a 3-2 ball game. Roy White, the number four man, moving in. He'll be followed by Pepitone and Hall. Somebody left a gate in the center field fence open, and the center fielder, Wayne Comer, has to go out there and close it. Now Comer makes the trot back in. One of the ground crew opened the door and forgot to close it. Chances are a ball going in there very slight, but it could happen. All right, Gary Bell getting the sign from his catcher, McNurtney. The first pitch to White on the way. Hit the center field. Comer right there, laying for it. One away. The ball was well hit, and Comer didn't have to move a step. One down. White now is 0 for 2. He walked and bounced the first in his other at-bats. Here's Pepitone, who fouled to the catcher, line to left. Joe Pepitone has not been hitting. Pepe is 1 for 27 on this road trip. Here's the guy the Yankees have got to have with that bat to move along. There's a high pop on the left side coming for it. The third baseman Rollins, the catcher McNurtney, nobody can get to it. In case you weren't with us last night, the left field corner of Sixth Stadium here in Seattle is totally out of our view, and also a part of the stadium just under us. We have to stand up and lean over to see whether or not the catcher or the third baseman gets to those pop-ups. And down the left field line, we just have to watch the pitcher to find out if the ball's been caught. We actually cannot see the left field corner. The one strike pitch to Pepe. Two hopper to the first baseman, Mincher. The underhand flip to Bell is in time. Two up and two down. Gary Bell has retired the last six men he's faced. At the last man, Sotomayor in the fourth inning. Three up and three down in the fifth, and the first two here in the sixth. Here's Jimmy Hall, always a dangerous batter. Fly to left, single to center. Hall came into the ballgame hitting an even 250. As the Yankees doing much better. He came to the Yankees from the Indians 0 for 10. Jimmy takes a strike. Hall set a record for most home runs by a left-hand batter as a rookie with 33 when he was with the Twins. He beat Ted Williams' record. Ted had 31. The one-strike pitch to Jimmy Hall. Outside, 1-1. It's a good thing he had the 33 because Tony Oliva, as a rookie the next season, a left-hand batter, hit 32. Red Sox came up with two in the eighth to move out in front of Oakland 4-3. The Red Sox showing surprising strength. Yastrzemski hit one, his eighth. There's a high drive, right field, near the barrier. Mike Hegan at the wall makes the play. Jimmy Hall, in a bid for a home run, fell short by about 8 feet. Three up and three down for the Yanks, and the score after 5.5. Pilots 3, Yankees 2.
Bat Day and Father's Day. Boy, what a...
gorgeous gladiolus display in your own garden, plan ahead and plant your gladiolus bulbs this spring at low money-saving prices from the Michigan Bulb Company. Order now in a rainbow mix assortment of 60 gladiolus bulbs imported from Holland, only $1.69. These healthy, medium-planting stock bulbs come in a variety of blazing colors, guaranteed blooming this summer and many years thereafter, or replacement-free up to 5 years. Mail your order now. Send no money, just your name and address to GLADS, WGY, Schenectady, New York. Your 60 gladiolus bulbs will be shipped for planting this spring. On arrival, pay postman $1.69 plus COD. You must be satisfied or return within 10 days for purchase price refund. Act now. Receive 3 imported Dutch peacock orchid bulbs free. Write to GLADS, WGY, Schenectady, New York.
Scoreboard totals here at Six Stadium show the Yankees 2 runs, 5 hits, and the Pilots 3 runs on 5 hits. All the scoring has come on homers. Bobby Mercer homered for the Yankees in the first inning after a single by Jerry Kenny. And then in the fourth inning, Jerry McNerney, the Pilots catcher, homered with 2 men on for the 3-2 lead. And we go to the bottom half of the sixth with Jerry Coleman.
Here's Wayne Comer coming on, who's 0-for-2 facing Stottlemyre. Yanks trailing by a run. Comer takes low for ball one. Tomorrow night in this breakaway ball game between the Yanks and the Pilots, it'll be the rookie for the Yankees, Bill Burback, going against Mike Marshall. The 1-0 pitch to Comer. Outside. 2 balls, no strikes. Stottlemyre will have Comer, Rollins, and McNerney to pitch to here in the sixth inning. McNerney was the guy who caused the damage for Mel, a 3-run shot in the fourth. Stottlemyre getting the sign from Gibbs. A lean Yankee right-hander into the windup. Here's the 2-0 pitch. It's in there for a strike, 2-1. The Yankees have lost 5 straight and 12 of their last 13, but there's a bright side to their record, which right now is 12-20. If they split in the next 2 ballgames, Stottlemyre to Comer, it's low, 3-1. They'll have a record of 13-21 in 34 ball games, and that will match exactly their record at the same time last year. The Yankees came on very strong in the second half. Manager Ralph Houck is looking for this club to pick up again this season. Comer takes a strike, 3-2, a full count. Yankees return to the stadium Friday night against the California Angels for that weekend set. Saturday afternoon, Ladies' Day, and a doubleheader on Sunday. Stottlemyre, the payoff pitch to Comer. Here it comes, and Wayne swings and misses strike 3. Third strikeout for Stottlemyre. He got Harper twice, and now Comer here in the sixth to lead off the inning. One away, here's Rich Rollins. Rollins fly to left, single to right. Rollins taking a look at the third base coach, Frank Persetti. Pilots 3, Yankees 2. Last half of the sixth. Both teams with 5 base hits. Stottlemyre, the sign from Gibbs. Ready, delivers. Ground ball foul on the left side. Strike 1. This Rich Rollins, a few years back when he was in his heyday and had his peak with the Twins, every time he came to the Yankee Stadium, managed to hit a home run or two. Well, he really just broke our backs there. Then suddenly, Rollins ran into some tough days and lost his job as a starter. Armin Killebrew came on and took it away from him for a while.
Rollins, as I recall, Jerry, came up with a bad knee a few years ago, and I think that paralleled his slump.
He's on the American League All-Star team. In 1962. There's a ground ball, trash to his left, near the bag. The underhand flip is in time to Pepitone, 2 down. Nice play by Tommy moving towards second base. So it's 2 up and 2 down, and now here's McNerney, who's 2-for-2. A scratch single to Horace Clark in the second, a 3-run homer in the fourth. is McNerney's first home run of the year, as we mentioned before, and RBIs 11, 12, and 13. Jerry McNerney, former White Sox catcher, waiting as Stottlemyre fires low for a ball. Roy White, the left fielder, is almost at the warning track. Stottlemyre to McNerney. Curve misses outside. 2-0. Mel being careful with this guy. He pumped one over the 345 sign. Not too much over it, but enough. Roy White was right there, as he mentioned, trying to climb the wall and couldn't get any farther. Stottlemyre, the 2-0 pitch on the way. McNerney hits it on the ground in the hole. Tresh has it. The throw is in plenty of time and the side is retired. So it's three up and three down. The score after six full innings of play, Pilots 3 and the Yankees 2. Now let's take a quick look.
First of all, allow me to express my thanks and my gratitude for the careful and conscientious work that I have found in your new service and in all of your broadcasts. I've listened for a long time and regularly to your program. What good luck it is that you exist. Otherwise, we'd have to live completely misguided, hearing only hackneyed clichés about the world. For my part, your best program is the news, but I also like very much your science, cultural, and farm programs. I can assure you that a major part of Hungarian youth enjoys listening to Teenager Party. Of course, we listen to the news before and after.
This letter is one of hundreds Radio Free Europe receives from young people who look to RFE for uncensored news. To listeners in East Europe, Radio Free Europe is the in sound from outside. For facts about RFE in East Europe, write Radio Free Europe, Box 1969, Mount Vernon, New York.
Pilots 3, the Yankees 2, as we go into the seventh, and now to carry you along and down to the wire, here's Frank Messer.
All right, Jerry Coleman, thank you very much. And of the seventh inning, the bottom third of the batting order for the Yankees, Tom Tresh, Jake Gibbs, and the pitcher, Mel Stottlemyre. Tresh tonight has gone 1-for-2. He tried to bunt himself on in the second inning. He was thrown out by Bell, the pitcher. Then he beat out an infield hit to second baseman Harper in the fourth. Mincher plays him down the line and deep at first base. Shortstop Ray Otter swung well around toward the bag. Harper midway between first and second. Breaking pitch misses. Ball one. Outfield bunches toward the middle. They give up both foul lines to Tresh, figuring if he hits the outfield, it'll be pretty much straight away. Gary Bell has retired seven in a row since walking Gibbs in the fourth. Right-hander winds and deals. Tresh takes high and outside. Two balls and no strikes. Looks down at Jerry McNerney for the sign. Rocks back on the left foot. The kick and the pitch. Fouled away to the seats on the first base side. Anxious to hear the attendance tonight because the biggest crowd here at Seattle so far this year has been 15,014 on opening day when the Seattle Pilots played the Chicago White Sox. Of the windup, 2-1 pitch to Tresh. Tommy swings and misses, swung himself right out from under his helmet and cap. Pilots leading 3-2. Mercer, a two-run homer for the Yankees in the first, and McNerney, a three-run homer for the Pilots in the fourth. Tresh steps back from the plate, squeezes the upper part of the bat handle where he has a supply of rosin. Now moves back in. Bell winds and deals 2-2. Tresh takes high, full count 3-2. Bell and McNerney both thought that should be a strike. So do some of the grandstand umpires. You can hear them. So we'll have a payoff pitch to Tresh. In motion, and it's on the way. Tresh sends it out to right field in the air, moving toward the corner is Hegan. in foul territory, makes the catch just in front of the rolled-up tarpaulin down in the far right field foul corner. The Thresh is retired on a foul fly to Hegan. Jake Gibbs steps in. Jake has walked twice tonight. Gary Bell has given up three walks, the two to Gibbs and one to Roy White in the first inning. The pitch, low, ball one. Pilots leading 3-2. Top of inning number 7. One out, nobody on for the Yankees. Bell to Jake Gibbs. Swung on, drive on to right field, deep. Hegan back to the fence, has room, makes the catch right at the wall. Gibbs hit it well, but Hegan back to the fence. Made the catch, two down. And it brings up Mel Stottlemyre. Mel has flied to left and grounded into an inning-ending force play. Rich Rollins protects the line deep behind the bag at third, just a couple of steps off the foul line. Bell winds and his pitch to Stottlemyre, taking low, ball one. Two down low, dug out of the dirt by McNerney. Two balls and no strikes. Gary Bell wandering around off the skin part of the mound, rubbing up a new baseball. And the 2-0 pitch. Strike call to Stottlemyre. Two balls, one strike. Two outs and nobody on. Two outs, nobody on. The pitch, strike, two calls. Oh, letter high, got the outside part of the plate. Stottlemyre took a stride that time, but no swing. Bell has now retired 9 in a row. Veteran right-hander ready to work to Stottlemyre. Struck him out. Swinging. Dropped by McNerney. Tags Stottlemyre at the plate. Three up, three down. Nothing across. And at the end of 6.5, the score remains. The Pilots 3 and the Yankees 2.
Students? Students! That's better. Our cigarette topic today is how to cough. Now, of course, all cigarette smokers cough, but some do it so timidly. They seem to be apologizing for destroying their lungs. Well, look at it this way. If you don't have a right to destroy your lungs, who does, hmm? Smoke cigarettes and cough proudly. Just broke the strap on my wristwatch. A friend of mine once coughed his contact lenses through a quarter-inch plate glass window. Now, that's overdoing it. Actually, a less powerful cigarette cough can wreck your lungs pretty good. Like this. Say that. That sounds bad. I've got a pain in my chest here, too. Maybe I'd better see a doctor myself.
For more on cigarette coughing, call your American Cancer Society.
Well, we've gone through 6.5. The Yankees are trailing the Seattle Pilots 3-2. And this big crowd here at Sick Stadium, they have a rather pleasant thing that they go through in the seventh inning stretch for the home fans. They get up and sing, "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," and it comes through loud and clear. Maybe something ought to try at Yankee Stadium every now and then and get the kids started and teach them the word.
Ray Arter leads off the bottom half of the seventh. Is 0-2, grounded out to Kenny at third and popped to the shortstop, Tom Thresh. Kenny has played flawlessly at third base so far. The pitch. Waller checks his swing, takes a strike. time he has handled, let's see, one, two, three chances at third base. One strike pitch. Check swing, load outside. One ball, one strike. Kenny playing even with the bag against Oiler. The pitch from Stottlemyre swung on and missed. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. Pilots leading 3-2, bottom half of inning number 7.
Frank, the A's have edged ahead of the Boston Red Sox with 2 runs in the bottom of the 8th. It's now a 5-4 ball game. A real battle going on down there.
Look at how that infield's holding up. 1-2 pitch. Check swing. It's low. 2 balls, 2 strikes. Those of you that might not have heard any of our broadcasts from Oakland, I think we mention it every night, the grass part of that infield down there in the Oakland Coliseum was very, very hard. And the dirt part of the infield was quite soft, except for the running track. Hank Bauer had had the grounds crew roll down hard at the edge of the infield grass to give, well, Campaneris primarily running space. 2-2 pitch. In the dirt. Full count, 3-2. Nobody on, nobody out. Stottlemyre has retired the last 7 batters he's faced since walking Bell in the 4th. The windup, 3-2 pitch to Oiler. Ball 4. So Oiler is on to lead off the 7th. The 3rd walk given up by Stottlemyre. Mal has also struck out 3. Patron will hold against the base runner, and well, the Yankees sort of look for a bunt right now for Mr. Gary Bell. He's walked twice. Gibbs request time, goes to the mound. He and Stottlemyre meet just in front of the mound. And now Papatone's going to come across, get in on the conversation, get the strategy set here on how they'll play the expected bunt from Bell. In center field, Jimmy Hall has come in very shallow. Mercer shallow and right. White, the deep man in left field. Fresh and Clark in about halfway. Here's the pitch. Bell bunts it on the ground towards Stottlemyre. Mel picks it up, drops it, throws to first in time. Stottlemyre wanted to start the double play. He wanted to throw to second base on that one and couldn't find the handle. He was just a little too eager to throw that ball back to second and dropped it. Bell will be credited with a sacrifice. He is out. Stottlemyre to Pepitone, and here's Tommy Hunter. Hopper struck out twice and sent a one-hopper back to Stottlemyre. Order at second. Here's the man the Seattle fans want to see get on base. Tommy Hunter, who has 18 stolen bases. He's a right-hand hitter. The first pitch to him, low outside, ball one. Kenny about a step behind the bag and fairly wide of the line at third. Tresh shaded over toward the bag at second, and so is Clark. Pepitone wide and deep at first base. The outfield bunches toward center. Pretty fair lead at second. Stottlemyre gives him a look. Deals the plate. Low outside again and gives on his knees for it. 2 balls and 0 strikes to Tommy Harper. And with that pitch, a wave goes out to the bullpen from pitching coach Jim Turner. And the jackets come off. Lindy McDaniel will begin warming up. 2 balls, no strikes to Harper. Pilots leading 3-2. Two nothing pitch. Outside, ball 3. Daniel giving a hurry-up call. He's throwing hard to start with out there. 3-0 pitch. Strike called. Clark up the middle. Mel takes his time. Maybe Gibbs slowing him down a bit. 3-1 pitch now. It's low, gets through Gibbs, and Weller does not try to go to third. It's ball four, and Harper is on. Weller, I don't think, realized that ball got as far past Gibbs as it did. He could have gone down to third base. Right now, on New York Yankee baseball, we pause for station identification.
Join me, Harry Downey, weekdays 10 to 11:30 a.m. and 3 to 6 p.m. here on WGY 810 on your dial, Schenectady.
There are runners at first and second. Gibbs again goes to the mound. Sometimes a catcher will realize that a pitcher has lost his stuff. Not to say that that is what has happened now, but sometimes, of course, the catcher would be the first one to realize it. With a man working in a bullpen, catcher sometimes will play for a little extra time. Right now, men at first and second for the Pilots, one out. Stottlemyre would love to see a double play as Hegan steps in. Pilots lead 3-2. Kenny at the edge of the grass down at third against the left-hand batter. Clark and Thresh both squeezed in towards second. Outfield deep and right. The set by Stottlemyre and the pitch to Mike Hegan. Low ball one. Hegan is grounded out to Pelletone, to Clark, and flied to left. Mel comes set below the letters. And the pitch. Strike is called. Knee-high got the inside part of the plate on Mike Hegan. We're quoting the paper today from Mike Hegan. Somebody asked him what he was doing when the fight broke out last night. Well, I was looking for Dad. One pitch from Stottlemyre to Hegan. Sliced foul off the end of the bat to the left side.
Vic Ziegler came up with a great quote for that, sort of to cap it off. He said, well, if Jim Hegan gets a hold of Mike Hegan, he'll probably spank him.
Water at second, Harper at first. One ball, two strike count on Mike Hegan. Working very deliberately now. Sets and throws, and there's a line drive out into left center field. Maybe a tweener. White cuts it off in the alley. Racing home, Oiler around third and stopping now as Harper as Hegan stops at first base, and the Pilots lead 4-2. That brings Ralph Houck out of the dugout. Hegan lacing one up the alley in left center. Only Roy White's tremendous speed cut that ball off in the alley and kept a second run from scoring and kept Hegan from going at least to second and possibly to third. That ball was well hit. Houck at the mound with Stottlemyre. Hegan's 15th run batted in of the season. His first hit tonight. And Houck has signaled the bullpen. He wants Lindy McDaniel. So Mel Stottlemyre will leave here in the seventh inning. He's pitched 6 1/3. Allowed to this point of the ball game 4 runs on 6 base hits. Walked 4 and struck out 3. The runners are his responsibility, and they're at the corners, Harper at third and Hegan at first. So
as McDaniel comes in and starts to loosen up on the mound, Jerry Coleman has some other action for us.
All right, Frank, a look at the scoreboard in the American League. First, Oakland leading Boston 5-4 with the Red Sox batting in the top of the ninth. Yastrzemski homered in that one for the Red Sox. Jackson did one for the Oakland A's. And Mel Stottlemyre getting a near-standing ovation here as he leaves the field, somewhat upset and disgusted over the fact that he couldn't finish the job he set out to do. Fans rising and giving him a standing ovation. Detroit leads the White Sox 3-1. They're playing the ninth. Northrop had a home run for Detroit. California won, and the Senators won playing the ninth. Morton hit one on the seventh for California. Epstein hit one on the first for the Senators. Cleveland beat Kansas City 8-6. A home run by Hernandez in that one for Kansas City. And Horton, Tony that is, had two for the Indians. Minnesota 4, the Orioles 2. Rod Carew, last we saw, who was leading the American League in hitting, got a home run in the eighth inning to cap that one off for the Minnesota Twins. A 4-2 score by the Twins over the Orioles caps off the American League. In the National League, the Braves beat the Mets 4-3. Home runs by Aaron, 515 lifetime. Cepeda and Tillman for the Braves. Agee had one for the Mets. Houston beat Montreal 10-3. L.A. at St. Louis postponed because of rain. Cincinnati beat Philadelphia 6-4. Perez and May for Cincinnati. Callison for the Phillies homered. San Francisco 11, the Pirates 8. Henderson hit one in that one for San Francisco. Herbner and Oliver for Pittsburgh. And the Cubs beat the San Diego Padres 19-0. Banks had a pair. Oliver and Young hit them for the Cubs. Right here, it's the Pilots 4 and the Yankees 2 with the action still going on the field. We're in the bottom of the seventh inning, and now let's go back to Frank Messer.
All right, Jerry, and here's Lindy McDaniel with a record of 2-2 coming on to pitch to Tommy Davis. The Pilots have runners at first and third, one out. Pepitone will hold against Keegan at first base. Harper is at third on the first pitch from McDaniel. Strike call, fastball burned through on Davis. Tommy Davis tonight is 0-3. It took a running catch by Hall to retire him in the first inning. Lindy McDaniel is in his 11th game in relief, the most games of any Yankee pitcher. Tall right-hander, kicks and draws, and he is low to Tommy Davis. One ball, one strike. McDaniel owns the only save for the Yankee bullpen corps. He has an earned run average of 4.76. In 17 innings, he's allowed 22 hits, walked 4, struck out 9. One strike, one out, and then at first and third, the pitch. Check swing, and it's low. Two balls and a strike. Now we have the attendance figure. 19,072. The largest crowd ever to watch a baseball game in the state of Washington. The old record here at Seattle was 15,014 opening day this year against Chicago. Quite a tribute to Mel Stottlemyre, the Yankees, and the Seattle Ball Club with four wins in a row. Here's the pitch to Davis. Bouncing ball over the head of the pitcher, McDaniel. Thresh tags Keegan for the only out. The run scores. Tommy Davis reaches on a fielder's choice as Harper scores from third, and the Pilots now lead 5-2. Credit Tommy Davis with a run batted in. And now Don Mincher, the first baseman. Minch is 2-3 tonight, scored one run. Both his hits have been infield hits. Hit the ball suddenly in the fifth, and a line drive was caught by Pepitone. Heavy right now, holding against Davis. There's a pitch low ball.
Frank, a quick one just in. The Oakland A's have defeated the Boston Red Sox 5-4, so they maintain the pace with the Minnesota Twins.
All right, Jerry, that's quite a ball game. Right here, it's 5-2, Seattle leading. Davis leads away from first. Mincher hits a high fly ball out into left field. Room for White. Few steps to his right, inner step. Glove up, makes the catch, and the side is retired. But the Pilots come up with two runs on only one base hit. There were no Yankee errors and a man left. Ooh, those walks. At the end of seven, it's Seattle 5 and the Yankees 2.
You know, it's vacation time for lots of people right about now. And to all of you who are going on camping trips or fishing trips, I'd like to suggest you make a little room in your gear for Peel's Real Draft Beer in aluminum cans. You know, they're just great for travel. Aluminum cans are lightweight and compact, and they won't rust. You know, you can just dangle them off the side of a boat in a river or a lake and keep your Peel's Real Draft real cool, just the way you like it. You don't get any of that tinny taste with aluminum, either. And that's what counts, after all, taste. And it's taste that made 1,314,630 beer drinkers switch to Peel's Real Draft in just 1 year. It's the biggest success in beer history. Peel's put real draft beer in bottles and cans. And that, say the folks at Peel's, is what makes the difference. Try Peel's yourself. You'll enjoy it, too. And you'll enjoy your vacation just a little bit more when you take along some aluminum cans of Peel's, the real draft beer.
The top of the batting order for the Yankees as we go to the eighth, Clark, Kenny, and Mercer. Clark is 1-for-3. Kenny is 1-for-3, and Mercer is 1-for-3. Bobby homered in the first inning. Clark trying to get something started against Gary Bell. The right-hander winds and deals. Clark looks at the ball one up high. Bell has retired the last 10 Yankees. Last base runner was Gibbs, who walked in the fourth. Ding-dong deals, and Clark bounces one to the second baseman, Harper. Over the first, one down. Jerry Kenny steps in. Yankees had the same first-inning scoring combination tonight as they had last night. With one out, Kenny drilled a base hit and Mercer homered. Kenny tonight at third base for the first time in his Major League career. Single in the first inning, stole second, get into a double play in the third, and was thrown out on a bunt in the fifth. Gets this one up in the air to left field, coming in a few steps as Tommy Davis makes the catch, and there are two down. Kenny lofting to Davis in left. Two away, and Bobby Mercer. Mercer still hearing from the Bluebirds. Youngster can expect that every time he comes into this ballpark from now on. Bell's pitch to him. He takes it, letter high, strike one. Chris Peterson getting a little work in down in the Yankee bullpen. One strike pitch, outside. Pete will start Friday night against the California Angels. He's just loosening up a little bit tonight. Two outs, nobody on. Bell with a 1-1 pitch coming down to Mercer. Here it is. Bobby takes it over, but high. Ball two, 2-1. Mercer's home run in the first inning was his 10th of the year. Gave him 34 runs batted in. He takes this one a bit outside, and it is ball three. Mercer thought it was ball four. Started down to first base and tossed the bat away. But it's ball three, a count of 3-1. And that gives fans a little more enjoyment at his expense. One pitch to him. Foul back over the roof to our left. And that fills the count at 3-2. $19,072 in this ballpark tonight. A And that is close to capacity. 3-2 pitch. Mercer fouls another one over the roof to our left. Jerry Bell gets a new baseball, steps back off the skin of the pitcher's mound to rub it up. The wind, the pitch. Get on the ground a second. Harper up with it cleanly to Mincher, and the side is returned. Yankees, for the fourth inning in a row, are set 3-up, 3-down by Gary Bell. And at the end of 7.5, it's Seattle 5, the Yankees 2.
You know, T.O.'s Real Draft Beer really does give you the right from the keg flavor. And it does give you smoother, fresher taste. But there's one thing T.O.'s doesn't give you. The filled-up feeling you get with some of the other beers. You know, there's nothing so refreshing these warm days as a good cold beer. But if your beer fills you up while it's cooling you down, well, who needs it? The great thing about Peel's, it doesn't leave you with that filled-up feeling. And that's because Peel's is real draft beer. Yes, Peel's is putting real draft beer in bottles and cans. And that, the people at Peel's believe, is what makes the difference. That's what convinces beer drinkers that Peel's beer is better than their beer. It's smoother, fresher, and best of all, it's lighter. Peel's won't leave you feeling filled up, so why not try Peel's yourself? I know that you'll be convinced, too, that Peel's Real Draft is better than your beer. Or should I say, the beer that used to be your beer? Try Peel's Real Draft Beer.
Bottom half of the eighth inning coming along for the Seattle Pilots. It will bring Wayne Comer, Rich Rollins, and Jerry McNerney to the plate against Lindy McDaniel. Donald Meyer, in 6 1/3 innings, gave up 5 runs, all earned, on 6 hits, walked 4, struck out 3. 2 of those 4 walks hit him in the 7th inning. They both scored, Euler and Harper.
Frank, a quick note by Bob Fischel. The humidity at game time was 55%. It's now 78%. And the feeling is, at Sick Stadium here in Seattle, that if home runs are going to be hit, you have to do it fairly early because the air, with that heavy humidity, seems to slow the ball down a little.
Well, it's too bad it wasn't a little more humid for the Yankees in the fourth inning. That's when McNerney hit the 3-run shot. McDaniel's first pitch to Wayne Comer. High, ball one. Comer, right-hand batter, reached on a fielder's choice in the second, flied out to left in the fourth, struck out in the sixth. One ball and no strikes. Lindy steps back on the left foot to kick the pitch. Strike call, letter high, got the outside part of the plate. A ball and a strike on Wayne Comer. Comer, taken from the Detroit organization by the Seattle Pilots. It's this one, one hop to treasured short, any strikes. All but a Pepitone, and there's one out. Rich Rollins now steps in. He's had one hit in 3 trips, and he was on base in the fourth inning when McNerney unloaded deep over the left field fence. Rollins, right-hand hitter, taken from the Twins organization. Takes a pitch downstairs, ball one. Pilots leading 5-2. We're in the bottom half of the eighth. McDaniel deals, and a foul is peeled back to the screen. Yankees have one more shot at Gary Bell with Roy White, Joe Pepitone, and Jimmy Hall in the top of the ninth. One pitch. Just off the outside corner. Jerry, it'd be interesting to know what kind of a scouting report Frank Presetti might have given Joe Schultz on the Yankees.
Well, if anybody knows him, Frank certainly does.
Two-one pitch. Long on and miss, strike two. Presetti was very happy out here. He and his wife have a
an apartment about 5 minutes from the ballpark. One out, nobody on, two and two to Rollins. McDaniel rocks and fires. Rollins bounces a foul to the left side. Kicks off something out of our view and back onto the playing field. McDaniel studying Gibbs. Now the pitch. Check swing, ball three. Full count on Rollins, 3-2. A lot of sailors here at the ballpark tonight as we glance around the stands from the naval base just a few miles from here. Three balls, two strikes. Rollins waiting. Here it comes. Get on the ground at fresh. Tommy gets a little charity hop. Bell high. Guns it over to Pepitone, and there are two away. And now the big man for the Seattle Pilots tonight, the catcher Jerry McNerney. His three-run homer in the fourth inning puts the Pilots ahead 3-2. Since then, they've scored two more and lead 5-2. McNerney, a right-hand hitter, came from the White Sox. McDaniel wig-wagging to Gibbs. Just another sign now. And the pitch. Strike call. Lindy McDaniel, who did such a fine job for the Yankees over the second half of last year after he came in the trade for Bill Monbouquet. Delivering 0-1. Swing and a miss by McNerney. Strike two. McDaniel is a preacher in the offseason. Also publishes a religious newspaper, which is widely read, especially among athletes. 0-2 pitch. Get on the ground again to Thresh. Tommy's got a chance for three this inning. And he sends it over in time. Side is retired. Three ground balls to Thresh at short. Nothing across for the Pilots. And at the end of eight, it's Seattle 5 and the Yankees 2.
Thank you very much.
Robert Rappaport of Rossville Center said, I think Peel's Real Draft Beer is one of the finest beers that I've ever had. It's terrific.
Thank you very much.
Steve Stillman of Staten Island said, I just wanted to say that Peel's Real Draft Beer is very, very good. And I want to thank you for putting it out.
Thank you very much.
Bill Grattan of Brooklyn says, Peel's Real Draft is about the best beer I've ever tasted. It's smoother, creamier, and has greater body.
Thank you very much.
Why have so many people been convinced that our beer is better than their beer? We think it's simple. Peel's has real draft beer in a can, and that's what makes the difference. Do us a favor. Try Peel's Real Draft. And when you're convinced, let us know. So we can say to you,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Well, we've got a late score just in. Detroit beat the White Sox 3-1. The winner was Lolich. The loser, Locker in relief. And Northrop did a home run in that ball game, number four, in the seventh inning with a man on. That was a big blow for Detroit. Bottom of the ninth, Washington and California 1-1 tied.
All right, Jerry and White will try to break the bell spell here as he takes a ball one up high. Jerry has retired 15 Yankees since the fourth. Here's the pitch. Outside, ball two. Gibbs walked in the fourth. Since then, Bell has not allowed a base runner.
windup, the pitch to White. White takes it for a strike.
Frank, just a quick note. California and Washington tied up after nine. They're in the 10th inning right now.
2-1 pitch to White.
High ball three. That score, incidentally, Washington 1 and California 1. Both runs coming on homers. Morton for California, Epstein for the Senators.
3-1 pitch to Roy White. He takes strike two over the outside part of the plate. Full count. Pilots leading 5-2. Seattle bullpen up. Left-hander John O'Donohue and the right-hander Diego Segui throwing. 3-2 pitch to White. High ball four and Roy's on. So after 13 in a row, the Yankees get White on with a walk here leading out the ninth. That was the fourth walk given up by Bell. And it brings to the plate Joe Pepitone. Pepe is off for three tonight. One hit in his last 28 at-bats. He's gone into an early season slump since he hit that elbow. Pitch to him. Right, one is full. First, Minter is backed off, playing halfway. Bell pitch. Pepe fouls it back for strike two. Out in right field, Egan is deep. Incidentally, Jim Gosker has gone to play center. Wayne Comer has moved to left with Davis out as a defensive measure here in the ninth. Pilots dead 5-2. Pepitone waiting. Here's the pitch. Hit right back through the box, up the middle in the center field. Base hit. White's going to go for third. Gosker up with the ball, throws into second base, and the Yankees have runners at the corners. Well, Pepitone gets a ninth inning single here to bring the tying run to the plate in the person of Jimmy Hall. That is the Yankees' sixth hit off Gary Bell. And it's bringing Joe Schultz, the Seattle manager, out to the mound. Usually when they just want a conference at the mound, he sends Magley out. Schultz is looking to the bullpen. He wants relief. He wants O'Donohue. He wants the left-hander O'Donohue to pitch to Jimmy Hall, and we'll see if Ralph Houck will make a change now. Probably Fernandez, and Frank is coming in from the bullpen. Now, that's Bobby Cox carrying a mitt. Not Fernandez. I knew when I saw him run, that couldn't be Fernandez. Just didn't run that way. Cox has more of a, well, sort of a loaf, I guess. Fernandez runs him straight up. Fernandez has gone to the bat rack, though, and he's going to come out. Bell gets quite ahead as he leaves. He's pitched eight strong innings, allowed only two runs on six hits, walked four, struck out two, and has a chance to be a winner. He cannot be a loser in this ballgame. So now John O'Donohue. The Pilots got O'Donohue from the Baltimore organization. He was actually on the Rochester club. It all involved a five-player deal. The Pilots sent Mike Farrell to Rochester and Jerry Schoen to Dallas-Fort Worth. The Orioles sent a couple of right-hand pitchers, Tommy Fisher, whom they were very high on, incidentally, just two or three years ago. Orioles sent Tommy Fisher and Lloyd Faroux to the Pilots' Vancouver club. The Pilots picked up the left-hander O'Donohue to bolster the bullpen. And as O'Donohue takes his warm-up throws, we're going to step out for just a moment. We pause for station identification.
Nightline is your line to what's happening. This is Jerry Ducey. Join the conversations weeknights on WGY Schenectady.
Fernandez will bat for Jimmy Hall with the left-hander O'Donoghue now on the mound for the Seattle Pilots. Fernandez hitting .229. He's hit two home runs, both in the same ball game early in the season, has five runs batted in that early season game in Washington. Second day of the season, as I recall. Fernandez batting for Hall. Runners at first and third. Nobody out. Here's the pitch to him, and it's in there for a call, strike one. John O'Donoghue, a left-hander. Leans down, takes the sign. And delivers. Just a bit high. One ball, one strike. O'Donoghue has been in three games prior to this one. He has no record. He's pitched only 2 2/3 innings and has not allowed a run. He's given up two hits and struck out one batter. Fernandez with a one ball, one strike count. White at third, Pepitone at first. The set by O'Donoghue. The left-hander kicks and deals. Fernandez sends a high fly ball out into right field. Higgins got a long run. He was cut well over towards center. Still running. And he overruns the ball. It's a fair ball. Here comes White in the score. Pepitone stops at second. Fernandez has to race back to first base. He had almost gone to second and almost overran Pepitone.
That was a tough play for everybody except for Roy White, who was tagging up all the way, and Egan, for some reason or other, did not judge the win and is being charged with an error. The ball came back to him, and you said it just right, Frank. He ran by the ball, got his glove on it, but dropped it. Pepitone really didn't know what to do. He was midway between second and third, and then came back, and we almost had Fernandez going by Pepitone, and he'd have been called out had he done that.
It will probably be scored as a sacrifice fly for Fernandez to give him a run batted in and not charge him with a time at bat. We'll see. Here is Tresh batting right-handed. Tommy swings and lines one foul just past Rollins. Foul ball. They changed it now to a base hit. They announced an error. Now they change it to a base hit. Fernandez gets a run batted in, his sixth of the year. And it's now a 5-3 ball game. The Yankees have the tying runs on. Nobody out. Runners charge the bell. O'Donoghue to the set. The pitch to Tresh. Fouled over the roof to the right side. Jake Gibbs due to bat next. With Fernandez already in the ballgame, we'll see whether Gibbs will bat or not. Pepitone is at second. Fernandez at first. The set by O'Donoghue. The 0-2 pitch to Tresh. Fouled again down the third base side. Egan well over toward right center field again against the right hand hitting Tresh. He just overran that ball by Fernandez. He made a long run to get to it. And it hit his glove and drop out. Again, the 0-2 pitch to Tresh. The set, the kick, here it comes. Foul back to the screen. Tresh getting just a piece of it to stay alive.
The funny thing, when you make a long run for a ball, as you get to the ball and start to slow your pace just a little bit, the ball starts to jump in the air. In other words, it doesn't come down smoothly and easily as it would normally. And that, I believe, is what happened to Mike Egan. But right now, Sal Magley is out there talking to John O'Donoghue. And his catcher, Jerry McNerney. Strange thing that happens, but every now and then you run into that play and that ball starts to just bounce back and forth on you as you're getting to it. I'm sure that Mike Keegan lost the ball on that particular situation.
Jerry, we've got to start thinking now. Fritz Peterson continues to throw down on the Yankee bullpen, and nobody else is warmed up. You know, if you get down to McDaniel, unless the Yankees are ahead by then. Well, let's see. Here comes the pitch. Fresh hits it in the air to center field. Coming on for it is Gosker. He makes the catch. The runners go back. Well, there's one out as Fresh flies to Gosker in center. Pepitone goes back to second. Fernandez to first. Jake Gibbs goes back to the dugout. And we're going to have Billy Cowan to bat for Jake Gibbs to get the right-hand stick in there against the southpaw Donahue. Billy Cowan will bat for Gibbs. Cowan is hitting .214. He's been up 14 times with three hits. Joe Schultz on his way to the mound. He will very possibly bring Segui into this ballgame now. He looks to his bullpen. And that's who it's going to be. He wants his, actually, Segui has become the ace of this bullpen. And he wants him in here right now. So it'll be right-hand pitching against right-hand hitting with Segui coming in to bat to pitch to Billy Cowan, who is batting for Gibbs. Donahue is credited with one-third of an inning. Gave up one hit. Diego Segui won back-to-back ball games Saturday and Sunday over Washington. And Segui this year shows a record of 3 wins, 2 losses. And an earned run average of 3.17. He's been in 12 games prior to this one. The Seattle Pilots rated the Oakland bullpen very heavily, taking both Segui and Aker. Bobby Cox has come out to the on-deck circle. He will bat for McDaniel, barring a double play. And Diego Segui in his warm-up throws. Segui has pitched 34 innings. These relief pitchers on the Seattle Ball Club are going to log a lot of time this year. There are only one, two, three men on the pitching staff who have pitched more than Diego Segui. They would be Patton, Bell, and Mike Marshall, three starters.
Frank, manager Ralph Houck is down to only one left-hand batter, and that would be Gene Michael, a switch hitter, so he has got to go with his right-hand hitters, and it's going to be Cowan and Cox to try to bring the Yankees back in the ballgame, and they're trailing by two now on the top of the ninth, 5-3.
All right, as Cowan steps in, the Yankees with one out have Pepitone at second, Fernandez at first. Fernandez batting for Jimmy Ball, single to right field as Mike Egan overran the ball and it dropped in. The runner's edge away. There's the set by Segui. Here's the pitch to Cowan. Billy swings and misses strike one. Diego Segui, in his 34 innings this year, has walked 18. He has struck out 29. He sets at the belt, wheels and deals. Cowan bounces a foul down the third baseline, and Cowan fell down flat on his tummy. He sort of lunged at that one, took a cut, and down he went on his tummy, just sprawling at the plate. No balls, two strikes. This Segui is the kind of pitcher who can throw just about every day. Diego Strong doesn't mind the work. He'll come out. He said he pitched once, 6 straight ball games. Didn't bother him a bit. He's ready with an 0-2 pitch to Billy Cowan. Here it comes. High and outside. One ball and two strikes.
Pilots leading 5-3. The Yankees have Pepitone at second, Fernandez at first, one out in the ninth. Rollins protecting the line at third. He's just a couple of steps off the foul line and deep. The infield at second and short, halfway. Outfield shades to the left side. McNerney flashes the sign. Segee sets at the belt. Here's the pitch. Cowan takes a strike. Three call, and Cowan is going to argue the point of play. Cowan is out on strikes. And there are two down. Big strikeout for Diego Segee. There are two away, and now Bobby Cox will bat for pitcher Lindy McDaniel. Has a batting average of 0.67. He's had one hit in 15 trips. Pepitone at second, Fernandez at first, two down. Segee ready to work. Here's the pitch to Cox. High, ball one. He's trying to rally here in the ninth. Trailing by two. They have the tying runs on. Diego Segee looks into McNerney. Starts his move. The right-hander delivers. Cox swings and lines one to right field. Right there is Hegan. He has got it. And the ball game is over. Cox hit the ball well, but Hegan, moving to his right and in a few paces, put it away for the third out. And for the Yankees in the ninth, one run on two hits. There were no final errors and two men are left on base. And that's it for tonight. The final score, the Seattle Pilots 5 and the New York Yankees 3.
Friends of Fields Real Draft Beer in Westfield, Massachusetts, Elmira, New York, Rutland, Vermont, and Teaneck, New Jersey, we say
thank you very, very, very much.
To all the Fields fans in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, Horseheads, New York, Mattawan, New Jersey, Homer, New York, and Burlington, Vermont, we say
thank you very, very, very much.
To our many admirers in New Haven, Connecticut, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, Framingham, Massachusetts, and Asbury Park, New Jersey, we say
thank you very much. Thank you very, 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 very much.
In hundreds of towns, thousands of people are finding that our beer is better than their beer. Why? We think it's simple. Fields has real draft beer in a can, and that's what makes the difference. To all of you who've switched to Fields, whoever you are, wherever you are, we say
thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Well, the largest crowd ever to see a baseball game in the state of Washington, for the most part, goes home happy. And to tell you why, well, Jerry Coleman.
All right, Frank Messer. Seattle, 5 runs, 6 hits, no errors. The Yankees, 3 runs, 7 hits, and 1 error. The winning pitcher, Gary Bell, his record now is 2-3. Mel Stottlemyre took the loss. His record now is 5-3, and that's the third straight loss for Mel. The Yankees were off and running with Bobby Mercer, who duplicated what he did last night in the first inning, a 2-run homer, and they held that lead until the fourth inning. Don Mincher opened up the fourth for Seattle with a scratch single. Rich Rollins, after one out, singled to right field, sending Mincher to third, and then Jerry McNerney boomed one into the seats in left center to give the Pilots the lead at that time, 3-2. Seattle bounced back in the seventh inning with 2 more runs on only 1 base hit, but 2 walks in that inning. And that was the end of Mel Stottlemyre as Lindy McDaniel came on and pitched to the 5 final Seattle batters, final 2 in the seventh and the final 3 in the eighth. The Yankees posed a threat in the ninth with a walk to White, a single to Pepitone, and a single to Fernandez. But Tommy Tresh flied to center. Bill Cowan, batting for Jake Gibbs, struck out. And Bobby Cox batting for Lindy McDaniel fly to right to end the ball game. So the final score, Seattle 5 and the Yankees 3. And one other final score, the Senators in 10 innings broke a 6-game losing streak by beating the California Angels 2-1. But once again, the final score here at Sick Stadium in Seattle, Washington, Seattle 5 and the Yankees 3. And now this is Jerry Coleman speaking for Frank Messer and Phil Rizzuto, saying goodbye from Sick Stadium in Seattle, Washington.